Since the beginning of time, sports have always been a part of the human experience. From the ancient Greek games at Olympia to the modern day mega complexes of the United States, sports have always driven people to run faster, jump higher, and dream bigger. Today, the tradition of excellency continues. KXUA Fayetteville, in partnership with UATV Sports, is proud to present Clubcast on KXUA Fayetteville. Dedicated to the club sports at the University of Arkansas, Clubcast is a record of the hard work and dedication put forward by all club athletes. From bass fishing to rugby, from ice hockey to lacrosse, to roller hockey to ultimate, to quidditch to racquetball. Multiple sports with multiple backgrounds, with equally diverse players, all come together on one stage. This is Clubcast on KXUA Fayetteville, 88.3.
Live from the University of Arkansas, this is Clubcast on KXUA Fayetteville, 88.3 FM.
To join the club, search UREC Clubcast on Facebook or contact the show directly at urecclubcast@gmail.com. KXUA Fayetteville is proud to introduce your Clubcast hosts, Seth Campbell and Alex Knackle.
Hello and welcome to Clubcast Sports Radio on 88.3 KXUA. I'm your host, Seth Campbell, along with my co-host, Alex Knackle. It's a great day, isn't it, Alex?
Yes, it is, Seth, especially since this is the first airing of Club Sports Radio.
Club Sports Radio will be a weekly broadcast that will recap the highlights from the past weekend.
The radio show will strive to provide you the most recent scores, stats, standings, and like my co-host Seth said, highlights of all the club sports that the university has to offer. With that being said, if anybody has any new updates of any club programs here, please contact us or the UREC Twitter or email us at urecclubcast@gmail.com.
We'd like to give a little bio about ourselves before we continue. My name is Seth Campbell, like I stated earlier, and I'm a freshman here at the University of Arkansas, where I'm majoring in broadcast journalism. I am also a part of the UATV broadcast. I'm from The Rock, Little Rock, Arkansas, where I graduated from Arkansas Baptist High School. I'm an avid sportsman and have been an Arkansas fan since I can remember. I love sports, but I really have a passion for baseball. What about you, Alex?
Hey guys, my name is Alex Knackle, and I'm also a freshman here at the university. I'm doing a combined major of journalism and political science with an emphasis in print and editorial. I work for the Traveler newspaper here at the school, and you might even see my name on a couple stories if you flip straight to the sports section. I'm from Cobb Hill, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas, and like my co-host Seth, I'm also a big sports fan and have been an Arkansas fan for ever since I was a kid.
Before we start with the show, we would like to take a moment of silence for those involved in the tragedy that took place during the Oklahoma State homecoming parade yesterday. Our thoughts and prayers are with those and their loved ones affected by this tragedy. Now we must move forward to the Arkansas Club Sports updates. We'll start first with Club Sports Volleyball. The University of Arkansas Women's Volleyball Club competed in the Missouri Tiger Classic this weekend. The club would face Kansas State for the first match, in which the club would win the first two sets 25-19 and 25-16. Then the volleyball club would face Southeast Missouri State in round two. Arkansas quickly and easily won the first set 25-7, and the second set would fall the same way, with Arkansas Club winning the match 25-13. The next match would also be Arkansas Club Volleyball W with a 25-18 and 25-17 sets over Western Illinois. The volleyball club would have a ticket to the bracket play and battle Kansas through two close sets, 25-23 and 25-22, but Arkansas Club would survive with the match winning two sets to zero. The second goal match would force the Arkansas club to do something they hadn't done the entire tournament, play a third set. A rematch with game one foe Kansas State. Arkansas club would lose the first set 21-25, but would make a comeback and take the second set 25-21, forcing a winner-take-all set three. The match was close, but Arkansas pulled away to get the two-point lead needed to end the match final. Final score 17-15, Arkansas club on top. After five matches, the University of Arkansas Women's Volleyball Club entered the final match against Iowa undefeated and only lost one set. In the final, the Arkansas club would face a difficult opponent in Iowa and would take second in the tournament, losing both sets 13-25 and 15-25. That's all the information we have on volleyball. I'd like to pitch it over to Alex now for the Quidditch.
Thank you, Seth. Last weekend, the University of Arkansas Quidditch Club advanced to Elite Eight at the Wolfpack Classic. The tournament was played at LaSalle Park in New Orleans, Louisiana, with the Loyola University New Orleans Wolfpack serving as the host team. The Arkansas Quidditch Club started the tournament with a 9:20 a.m. match against Gulf Coast Gumbo, a community club based out of New Orleans. Gulf Coast was first on the scoreboard with an early behind-the-hoop assist, making the score 10-0 Gulf Coast. We now go to our reporter for the next possession.
Arkansas team captain Joey Randerbue has the quiffle as he walks past the hoops. Arkansas club keeper Christian Bordeaux sets up by the hoops with bludger in hand. Arkansas club will move James Music in a forward position, empty-handed with the chasers. Randerbue's now surveying the field, getting ready to move into the Gulf Coast zone to make a play on the hoops. Chaser Eli Priest shifts Crane to box. James Music draws the Gulf Coast keeper's bludger. With the crowd to his left, Randerbue cuts to the right and goes for attack, going towards the hoops. And he's knocked out. That was as good a chance as any for Randerbue to get some points on the board for the Arkansas club. He basically had the entire Gulf Coast zone to his left, and he broke to the right. But a well-aimed bludger out of the crowd was able to hit him right below the knees to knock him out. If that bludger would have probably been a few seconds late, Randerbue probably would have been able to score easily because Gulf Coast only had their keeper there on the hoops and he was empty-handed. Both teams now get back in position on the field. Gulf Coast has the quaffle in hand and moves a beater as a guardian to the chasers to the Arkansas zone. The Gulf Coast beater has a bludgeon right in his hand. He's going to be a defender for the chasers that have now entered the Arkansas club zone. Gulf Coast is now setting up their own play on the hoops. Kristen Bordeaux makes a sacrifice to take out the Gulf Coast forward beater. Gulf Coast chasers rush to the hoops. First chasers knocked out by James Music. However, they retain the quiffle. Gulf Coast makes another attempt on the hoops. And he's knocked out by James Music again, who was able to pick up another bludger off the ground. A great two out there for the Arkansas club beater. Arkansas was able to pick up the quaffle after Priest swooped it off the ground. Priest is now moving towards the Gulf Coast zone, but the Gulf Coast puts their keeper right in the Arkansas zone face to face. And Priest is able to get the ball over to Randerbue with nothing but field in front of him. Randerbue goes towards the hoops. Empty-handed Gulf Coast players try to stop him. He misses the first one, but gets a tip in for the second try. The score is now 10-10 even. Definitely a quick move on his feet for Arkansas club chaser Eli Priest, who's able to skyhook the ball over to team captain Joey Randerbue, who's able to have nothing but field in front of him. Gulf Coast tries to stop him, but they're unable to make the play. Definitely a dangerous move, moving their keeper with bludger in hand almost into the Arkansas club zone, and they have to pay for it. Now the score is 10-10.
Gulf Coast would later gain the advantage after getting two scores within three visits to the Arkansas club zone. The final score would be Arkansas Club 130, Gulf Coast Gumbo 170. Arkansas Club seeker Eric Dreggers would capture the snitch. The University of Arkansas Quidditch Club's next game in pool play would be an 11:20 a.m. faceoff against Florida State University. Arkansas would be quick on the draw with team captain Joey Renabeau scoring on the opening charge of the game. Renabeau would make another charge to give the Quidditch Club a 20-0 start over Florida State. The next Arkansas Club goal would be a Renabeau assist to Amanda Apple for the goal. Apple would lead the team in goals, scoring three. Strong Arkansas defense and a low Florida State throwing percentage gives Arkansas an easy win. Final score, Arkansas 120, Florida State 30. Arkansas would capture the snitch. Turn it over now to our Quidditch pro, Alex Nightwood.
The Arkansas Quidditch Club would play the University of Southern Mississippi for their final game in pool play. Arkansas would be first on scoreboard after offensive confusion in Southern Mississippi zone leads to a quick turnover and a Joey Rambo score. On the next possession, Southern Mississippi enters the Arkansas zone. Leaving the hoops, Arkansas keeper Christian Bordeaux contains the University of Southern Mississippi chaser by forcing him to make a quick decision to pass. His pass would be just behind the intended chaser, which would be a costly mistake. The quaffle hits the ground and bounces into the hands of Rambo. He would make a break for the Southern Mississippi hoops. With only keeper in the zone, a quick pass to Billy Quach gives Arkansas Club Quidditch an easy 10 points. Later in the match, Arkansas would seal the deal with not one, but two, but three Eli Prist assists to Will Turner in a row. Arkansas would claim the snitch, closing out the game. Final score, 148-70, Arkansas Club Quidditch on top.
With a 2-1 record entering bracket play, Arkansas would face off against 1-2 Austin Quidditch Club in the Sweet 16 round of the Wolfpack Classic. Austin was quick to score with an opening rush goal, but would it be Arkansas's overall performance that would prove to win the match? Strong defense held Austin Quidditch to only 3 goals in the match, with an offensive campaign that would have Joey Rinnebo get a sole goal and 2 off of a Bill Quach assist. A 4th goal by Emily Fletcher would give Arkansas the edge within the hoops, and Eric Dreger's perfect day as a seeker would move Arkansas Club Quidditch to the Elite Eight, final score 90-30. The Elite Eight would commence under the lights in New Orleans. The University of Arkansas Club Quidditch would face the number 1 seed Lone Star Quidditch Club, who entered the match 4-0, after defeating Lumberjack Quidditch from Stephen F. Austin 190-30. Lone Star Quidditch would score off the opening charge and continue the trend, scoring 30 within the first 3 minutes to defeat the Arkansas Club Quidditch team 170-60. Rinnebo would score twice, and Arkansas seeker Dreger would capture the snitch. Seeker Eric Dreger would have a perfect tournament, going 5-for-5. Joey Rinnebo would lead the club in points with 14 goals and 5 assists. Eli Prist, Will Turner, and Ryan Hamilton would have 5 goals each over the tournament. Billy Quach would be the assist leader with 6. All of the Quidditch Club games during the Wolfpack Classic on October 17th can be seen in their entirety on YouTube. Search Arkansas Club Quidditch, or you can go directly to Billy Quach's YouTube page. That's BillyQuach. You want to finish this up?
I would love to, Seth. Finishing the Wolfpack Classic 3-2, the University of Arkansas Club Quidditch's overall record is 8-7. In the United States Quidditch, the team is sitting outside the top 25, currently ranked 29th in the nation. The top 3 teams in the nation are Quidditch Club Boston, Bowling Green State University, and Rochester United. The University of Arkansas Quidditch Club's next tournament will be the Diamond Cup in San Marcos, Texas on November 14th.
That's very interesting. Now, I want to know, Alex, you're the Harry Potter fan out of this group.
How does this
sport that is a fictional game relay into real life?
Well, see, the biggest difference from what you have told me, since you actually watch the videos in real life compared to what I know, is that when they get hit by the bludgeon, they don't really, you know, fall off their broom and fall out of the sky.
Well, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
That's the biggest difference for me, I gotta say. But besides that, it seems like pretty accurate.
So, you think that this is a very accurate representation of what the taking something from the books and actually putting it into real life?
So far, so good, yeah. I mean, I love how the snitch is actually a person, like a flag on the back like that. That seems like fun to be.
And they can run around anywhere. So, it's kind of different from anything that we're normally used to. You know, basketball, football, anywhere, there's lines, you know. And everybody stays in the lines, and you got to stay within the action. But in Quidditch, it brings something different, because the guy, this snitch, doesn't have to go. He can go anywhere he wants. He can go in the crowd, and it's his sole job is to provide entertainment. So I think it's very interesting for him, very audience friendly. It's something completely different that the Quidditch Club has.
The biggest thing for me that I love is that this is not a traditional sport that people play.
Right.
There's hockey, there's rugby, there's all those different types of sports, but they took this from a book, a fictional source, and made it into a game that people love. That people love to watch, that people love to play. And that's what I feel is like the best part about this Quidditch Club.
It shows you that if you have a passion for anything, don't just be limited by the, you know, what you think it could be possible. Because obviously anything is possible. Now, after that Quidditch update, I think we should go on to hockey. What do you say?
Sounds good, Seth. After dropping the last five games, the University of Arkansas ACHA Division I Hockey Club went 3-1 last weekend by beating Colorado, Metropolitan State, and Northern Colorado during a four-day tour of Colorado. Arkansas opened the tour on Friday by beating nationally ranked University of Colorado 3-2 in a shootout win in Boulder. The last time the two clubs met, Colorado got the better of Arkansas, winning 9-3 in Springdale on October 3rd. Last weekend, Arkansas got the win behind strong play when down a player. Over the course of six Colorado power plays, not a single goal was scored. Arkansas was able to jump to a 2-0 lead over Colorado, following first period goals by forward Ryan Machos and right wing Matt Robinson. But Colorado responded by tying the game with two late second period goals. Both teams would go scoreless in the third period and in overtime, leading to a shootout. As on par with ACHA hockey rules, each team would get three tries to score, but Arkansas would only need one goal to take the game. Arkansas left wing Luke Gradisar brought home the win for Arkansas after the lone goal against Colorado goalie Colin Champagne. First star performance by Arkansas goalie and Swedish native Oliver Eklund, who would get the win after guarding the bars for 65 minutes and making 46 saves and three critical stops during the final shootout. In their next game, the University of Arkansas club hockey team would visit the Edge Ice Arena in Littleton, Colorado to face Division III Metropolitan State, located in Denver. Metro State was undefeated entering Saturday's game, but they could not keep their winning streak alive. The two first period goals by Arkansas left wing Luke Gradisar would put the visiting team up 2-0 at the period break in the second period. Metro State would strike back with two quick goals in the second period to tie the game 2-2. Arkansas right wing Matt Robinson would break Metro State's momentum with a goal at the 9:30 mark in the second, giving Arkansas a 3-2 lead, but Metro State would reach the net once more before the third period, tying the game 3-3. The third period would go scoreless early with neither team gaining the advantage, but Matt Robinson's first star performance would break the stalemate as he would score back-to-back unassisted goals to give the Arkansas Hockey Club a 5-3 lead with 6:30 left in the third. Metro State would score once more before the final horn, but would be unable to replicate a second period performance. Arkansas club hockey would win 5-4 at the Edge. Now back to you, Seth.
All right, Arkansas concluded their weekend with another 3-2 win Sunday over Northern Colorado. After leading 3-0 through the middle of the second period, Northern Colorado would score two unanswered goals to bring the score within one. However, the home team would not be able to tie the match in the third. Arkansas holds off a comeback run from the Northern Colorado and final score 3-2. Machos led the scoring for Arkansas with two assists in the game. Forward Colin Young, defender Austin Thigels, and right wing Landon Howes each recorded a goal. To finish the tour, the Arkansas Hockey Club would return to Boulder the next day to play a defensive match against the University of Colorado. The scoreboard would remain blank after the first period, but a Colorado goal in the second, with 7:46 on the clock, would be all the home team would need to gain the W. Colorado, with 45 shots on goal compared to Arkansas's 23, would win the match 1-0. With three road wins in 4 days, including a shootout victory over 9th-ranked Colorado, the University of Arkansas Hockey Club would crack the ACHA's Men's Division I Top 25 at number 25. The tour of Colorado brings Arkansas's overall record to 6-8 with two wins against ranked opponents. Now looking at the Western Collegiate Hockey League, Arkansas is in the middle of the pack following a win against Colorado and Oklahoma on the road. Defending national champions Central Oklahoma lead the league with 18 points and Colorado a close second. Next week, the Arkansas Club Hockey will return to the Jones Center for Families in Springdale, Arkansas to face off against SEC rival and new Division I opponent, University of Alabama. Puck drop is set for 7:30 for both the October 30th and 31st games.
Seth, I gotta say, these were some big wins for the hockey club.
It's something that they really needed.
Mm-hmm. Especially over at the University of Colorado.
Yeah, we saw them. I went to the game mm-hmm. When Colorado was in town, and what I saw was a dominating performance from Colorado, but it was good to see our boys come back, you know, go on a long trip. I mean, sometimes when you go on these trips, you're not always focused on what you could do, but it was good to see those guys come back and really make a statement. I mean, they're 6-8 overall, but they're ranked in the top 25.
I think the biggest thing that we saw from this weekend was Arkansas's ability to convert in the power play. Okay. That's been their struggle pretty much the couple games that we have, of course, witnessed. And this weekend, they came in and started scoring some goals and taking advantage of the other team's mistakes. And that's probably the biggest takeaway for them from this weekend.
I mean, even in that loss, 1-0, I mean, the goalie had an awesome day. They had 45 shots on goal, and Arkansas only had 23. I mean, that's a dominating performance from Colorado, and yet the goalkeeper still only gave up one goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's positive, something positive you can take away from that road trip that, you know, maybe that's momentum that they can build on for the rest of the season that they didn't have before that.
Yeah, hopefully they can take that kind of tenacity into Alabama this weekend.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Division One. Let's pitch to Division Three and see how they're doing.
All right, the University of Arkansas Division Three ACH club hockey team hosted Kennesaw State last weekend at the Jones Center for Families in Springdale, Arkansas. The Arkansas Hockey Club competed well but lost 6-5 in overtime. This was just their second loss of the season, but their second loss in the last three games. On Saturday, the team won 4-1. Their overall record now is 8-2. The series with TCU that was set to play this week was canceled. Division 3 clubs, their next game is Saturday, November 7th at Division 2 Dallas Baptist. It will be played at the Dr. Pepper Star Center in Farmers Branch, Texas.
That's going to be big for those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of talking about the Division 1 team trending up, you know, losing two of the last three, they're kind of trending in a downward spiral, but maybe they can take this road trip like the Division 1 team did and make something positive out of it.
Mm-hmm. And coming from Dallas area, I've been to the Dr. Pepper Star Center. It's a pretty good sized rink. They're going to have a lot of fans there probably, so it's going to be a different environment for them to play in compared to the Jones Center.
And they can show that they're ready, you know, they're mm-hmm. able, they're going to be prepared for an environment like that, which I think what you see from the University of Arkansas Club Hockey Division III team this week could be, you know, a defining moment in their season.
Especially since they're playing up a division. I mean, Dallas Baptist is Division II, and they're playing the D3 club team here.
You can make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that could be huge for them. All right. Now that we have hockey out of the way, I think we have some fishing to get to, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Fishing.
gotta love it. Out here, you know, with all the great lakes that we have in Arkansas, you figure, you know, we'd have some pretty good bass fishers, right?
Definitely.
All right. Well, what do we got?
The club bass fishing team competed in the FLW Southern Conference Championship on Grand Lake last weekend. The team had two boats competing in the event, and scores will be announced once they're posted.
So basically, what we got is the fishing team coming out, and, you know, I'll try to go to this website and figure out, you know, what the scores were and everything, but they weren't up. Fishing, have you gone fishing, Alex?
I gotta tell you something, I'm not much of a fisherman. That's not really my thing.
I mean, I guess they don't do that down in Texas.
Oh, no, they do. This is not my thing. I gotta tell you, though, I used to live in Lake Gunnersville, Alabama.
Okay.
All right, one of the best lakes in the area. I'm talking about Bass Pro would come in, ESPN would have bass fishermen, like, tournaments there. But I gotta say, never was a big fan of it. Maybe that can change. I don't know. What about you, Seth?
I've done a little bit of fishing in my day. Never bass fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys takes a certain amount of skill that I don't think that I have.
Mostly patience.
Yeah.
To stay on the boat for that long. Yeah, I gotta tell
exactly.
you that. I don't have that.
You gotta have that knowledge of what to throw and then when to hook and all that kind of stuff. Most people think of it as, you know, sit in the boat and throw it out there.
No. It's like a sixth sense to know, like, where the fish are and how to get them in.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to go to the club, the club golf team. What do you got on the club golf team?
All right. The University of Arkansas Men's Golf Club competed in a regional tournament at Eagle Crest Golf Course in Alma, Arkansas. The team placed fifth overall, posting a score of 857 during the two-day tournament. Chris Fryett posted lowest score for the club with 77 strokes for day one and 79 to close the tournament. And round one, Fryett would post 5 birdies, ending the day 6 over.
That sounds like a decent course. I've never played out in Alma, Arkansas, but, you know, my golf game's not up to par.
No.
But I think that was a pretty good day, pretty good showing for the mm-hmm. golf team.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is their second match of the year. They're figuring out, you know, who's going to really be the main contributors to the team. I think it was a good tournament for them, and I think they can use what the knowledge that they've learned from these first two tournaments
build
to kind
of put off their performance. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To kind of know that, you know, all right, so who do we need to depend on? Who's going to be our main crutch, you know? Because I think it just changes from year to year. And, I mean, five birdies ending the day six over, I would take six over any time I hit the course.
Oh, gosh, yes. Tell you what, I don't even make it to the course. I'm not that.
I have seen you out on the driving range once. That was entertaining.
We don't need, like, it was bad. But, hey, you weren't that good either. Seth, you know you're not as good.
I like to think that I was better than you anyway, but I think that might
not
just be personal.
That's not
opinion.
Saying much, Seth. I mean, I made it like 2 feet off the green. Like, come on.
Hey, it's a good day if I can get it in the air, right?
Exactly. I like to think that the golf clubs I was using, they weren't long enough. I'm tall,
okay.
so you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it was
the
equipment's fault. It was not me.
That's the excuse we're going with this time?
What do you mean excuse? Yeah, okay. It's what actually happened, man.
All right.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, my. All right. So I think we have one more sport to come and catch y'all up on, and it's the triathlon team. The triathlon team competes in the South Midwest Collegiate Conference under USA Triathlon with schools from Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. The team has been to 2 conference races this semester. Here are the results from those 2 races. The Tri-Aggieland in College Station, Texas, the collegiate results from July 26. This is a 400-meter pool swim, 12-mile bike, and a 5K run.
Good gosh.
Drake Duman finished 7th, Scott Smith finished 11th, and Briar Druman finished 21st. Just seeing the look on your face doesn't tell me that this was your sport, huh, Alex?
No, not at all. No, I'd be dead.
The second race, the trifecta at Possum Kingdom Lake, Texas, was a sprint collegiate result. This is a 500-meter lake swim, a 17-mile bike, and a 4.5-mile run.
No.
Jasper Dota finished 28th, and Claire Frankel finished 31st. In the trifecta Possum Lake and Lake Texas, the Olympic collegiate results. So the first one was sprint, and this is Olympic. This is a 1,500-meter lake swim, a 24.8-mile bike, and a 10K run. Drake Duman finished 8th. Scott Smith finished 25th. Tiffany Yang finished 49th. Ray Felipe finished 50th. Briar Duman finished 60th. And Alika Hammer finished 61st. I just got to hand it to you. I don't care what place they finish. If these athletes are doing that, that is a major accomplishment. Just put that on your pedestal. It doesn't really matter what place you finish. Just make sure that you let everybody know, hey, I was a triathlete.
Oh, yeah. I definitely cannot do that. And I know you could, Steph.
Yeah. All of the athletes mentioned above qualified for the national championships in April. After these races, Drake Duman and Scott Smith are currently ranked 5th and 10th respectively in the conference. The men's team is currently tied for 3rd place with North Texas, and the women's team is ranked 6th. The overall club, men's and women's, is ranked 5th. Due to the nature of the sport, however, they are done competing for the semester. These are 3 races left on the schedule for next semester. They do the Mean Green Sprint Triathlon in Denton, Texas on March 20th, Conference Championship Olympic Triathlon in Austin, Texas on April 2nd and the 3rd, and the National Championships for the Olympic Triathlon in Clemson, South Carolina on April 22nd and 23rd. The game... Oh, wrong sport. Okay, so, like we said, it was a pinnacle. Athletes have to be in prime condition. I just got to hand it to them.
The motivation behind what they do, like, they live for that stuff, and that just shows their commitment to their sport.
Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't do it. I don't know. I just props to those guys.
I love Slim's Chicken too much.
Yeah, that's at least like three. I see you there at least 3 times a week, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that grilled chicken either.
Oh, what are you trying to say, Seth?
You trying to say
I'm fat? Seth.
All right, so we're gonna sign off here. We have to. Thank you for joining Clubcast on this day, Sunday.
KXU8.
You can join Club on Facebook or just search UREC Clubcast on Facebook. We're going to thank KXUA Fayetteville for hosting us today. And we're going to thank you. If you have any questions or wish to contact the show, you can email UREC Clubcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can look us up on Facebook at the UREC Clubcast on Facebook. Until next time, I'm Seth Campbell.
And I'm Alex Nykel.
And this has been Clubcast on KXUA. We'll be back the same time, same place. Until then, have a great week.